Good afternoon, everyone. Today we are going to discuss about the topic called as the church and what are the specialities and significance of the church and what are the characteristics a church should have. So maybe it will be a difficult time for me because we are going to read a lot of verses from the Bible, because that's how it goes with this particular topic. Okay, so the church. What is a church? Because some people think a church is a building. It's just a building with some idols, or somewhere some kind of a statues are there, the statue of Mary or the statue of Jesus Christ. But Bible doesn't talk about church as a kind of a place. It talks about church is a kind of a assembly where people come together. So it doesn't need to be a common place. It can be anywhere. It can be a house. It can be a different common place. So Bible doesn't talk about a church as a kind of a building, but it says it is a kind of a divine or a holy institution. Still furthermore, if we see in the Bible what church is being represented as. So when we go through these verses from Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, there we see the church being represented as the body of Christ. Maybe I can read it for you. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So here we see that church is being called as the body of Christ. Furthermore, we read in the book of John chapter 3 verse 5, where Jesus describes about the church to a person who wants to become a Christian. So there he mentions the church as the kingdom of God. So Jesus teaches Nicodemus about the church. He says, I will tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. So even for a person to enter or to become a part of the church, so he has to be born of the water and the Spirit. So here we see church is being represented as the kingdom of God. And further in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, Paul describes the church as a house of God, the God's household. So here we see different representation for the church and what a church has to do. So we read from the book of Hebrews chapter 8 verses 9 and 11, we see that God gives a lot of directions and commandments to the church, and church as an assembly has to follow it. So what does Jesus mean to the church? So we should have some relationship with Jesus Christ as well as with the church. So what does Jesus mean to the church, and how does he come into this picture? So we read from the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verses 23. It says Jesus Christ is the savior of the body. So we know already that the body, it is the church, for which Jesus Christ is the head. So here we read from the first chapter, it says that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And in chapter 5, we read a lot of comparison between the relationship of how a husband and wife has to be. And we also see this example is being compared with Jesus Christ and the church. So how a husband and wife has to be, and so Jesus and his church are likewise. And Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, the mankind, the humanity has received the salvation. Because without Christ, there's no salvation for human beings. And furthermore, we see in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 18, Jesus talks to Peter saying that, I will build my church. So here we see a lot of relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. So here we see that he is the savior, he is the head of the church, and he is the builder of the church. And we already saw that church is not exactly a building or a worship place. It is actually talks about the assembly, where there are two or more than two people coming together. So we know that Jesus Christ is amidst of us. So that is called as a church. When we speak very doctrinally, we speak about the Bible, we see this is church. But many people misinterpret it. They see a church as a kind of a temple where they go every week, every Sunday, or in the middle of the Sunday for any Bible study also. But Bible doesn't actually portray church as a building. So when we talk about the specialities and significance of the church, what a church has to do, or a kind of a, what are the specialities of the church, we see church is being considered as a glorious bride. Because we already read from the Ephesians chapter 5, we see the relationship between a husband and a wife, how a husband has to love his wife and how a wife has to obey and respect his husband. And that is the same thing which is happening between Christ and the church. Christ has always showed his love towards the church, and similarly church has to obey to Christ and his commandments. And we see here Christ is the bridegroom and church is the glorious bride. So furthermore, in this speciality and the significance of church, we will be describing about or discussing about the glorious beginning of church, how and when it was begun, and about the glorious head of the church, what is his specialities, and what are the specific names that has been mentioned in the Bible, and what a church has to do in the day-to-day activities as a church, what we are supposed to do, and similarly what is the destiny. People, there are more people in the world who come to church because they have their own problems, because they do not have a job, they want to come to church. Because they do not get married very soon, they come to church. There are certain personal reasons for them to come to church. But biblically speaking, there is a reason why we come to church, and we also see where this church will lead us. So there is a destination where this church will be leading us to. So the glorious beginning of the church, we already know that there are a lot of points that we will be discussing today that we are aware already. So maybe I'll be brushing through all these points. So in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and chapter 2, we read the magnificent importance of church and how it began. We see the nation, the 17 nation people coming together in Jerusalem. And we also see the disciples talking and preaching to all those 17 nation people in their own languages. They call it as a different tongues. So we see that it was a very, one of the biggest miracle that we read in the Bible. So this is a kind of a glorious and a very supreme start for the church. So in Jerusalem, with great power and driven by the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit was there along with the apostles, and that's how they were able to speak in different languages. They were uneducated and they can speak only their own mother tongues, but still they were capable of preaching to everyone in their own languages. And here we see the foundation of the church was laid. And furthermore, in chapter 2, we see that the apostles preaching what has happened after Jesus came to the earth, like how he suffered a lot and how he tried to preach and to explain the heavenly things to them, but they never listened. And finally, when Peter talks about everything and people there at that point of time, they were prickled in their heart, because at that point of time they realized what they have done. The Jewish people, they realized that they made a very big mistake by crucifying Christ on the cross. So at that time they were, maybe I can read those verses that will explain a lot. Chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 verses 36 until 38. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So here we see the people realizing what they have done is wrong. So they repented and they were asking the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" So after these incidences, we see that it was not few people, but many thousands of people were realized, and they believed that whatever they have done is wrong, and most of them were baptized on that day. So at the end of the chapter, we see that it was not just few people, but about 3,000 people obeyed the gospel, and the Lord added to the number daily who were being saved. So this was the first time people were baptized and added to the church. So this is the significance about the beginning of the church. So furthermore, when we see about the head of the church, so we already know that Christ is the head of the church. Church is the body. And Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, because he is the Son of the God, and he is also equivalent to God. But while he was in the earth, he has not taken advantage of it that he was equal to God, but still he obeyed whatever thing God has commanded to him. So here we see that all authority has been given to Jesus, who is the head of the church. And not only that, we read from Ephesians chapter 1 verses 22 and 23. We see that God has given all the rights and placed all the things under his feet. So appointed him as a head to be over everything, including the church, including this heaven and the earth. God has given the full authority to Jesus Christ. So this is the significance of Jesus, what we see here. So when we are actually discussing about the church, so what are the names that we can come across when we talk about church and the members of the church? So we read in the book of Romans chapter 16 and 16, we see that church has been termed as Church of Christ. But now we can realize and see how the world is going on. Like, there are several thousands of churches being named after each and every person in this world. We can see Apostle Paul's church, we can see Peter's church, we can see Michael's church, we can see like any X kind of churches being named after another person. And especially in India, you can see it much more familiar. Like, you can see there are thousands and thousands of churches, and they have their own doctrines, their own practices. Like, each and every church will be very different to the other churches. They say that we are also Christians, but they never follow what the other churches follow, because everything there will be somewhat different than what they do. And we see here church is considered as the body of Christ. So it can be only one, because Jesus is one, his body can be only one, practically speaking. And we also see that the followers of Christ were called as disciples, and the disciples were termed as Christians first at Antioch. So this was the first time a name was given to the disciples of Christ as called as Christians. So what is the work of the church? We see that church is being the body of Christ, and we saw the relationship, what is between the Jesus Christ and the church, how it began, and what are the terminologies that have been given to church. So when we talk about the church, what is the glorious work of the church? We can read from the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verses 10. Today's topic can be a kind of a boring thing, but please bear with me. We need to do a lot of reading from Bible today. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 10. His intent was that now through the church the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we see the intention of God. His intention was that through the church, his wisdom has to reach all the people, not only in the earth, even on the heavenly realms, because that is why he sent Jesus to this earth, and through Jesus Christ, God has achieved this. And we also see that church together has to glorify the God. In whatever things the church is doing, it should glorify God in all the things that it has to do. So we also see an example of church, like in the book of Genesis we read about Noah's ark. And we also know what happened when Noah built the church. There was a very big disaster that came around, and God provided Noah to prepare an ark so that whoever believes what Noah said, they were saved from the disaster. Similarly, we can also compare the church to the Noah's ark. So whoever wants to be saved from the big disaster on the judgment day, they have to obey to the commandments, and they have to be inside the church. Inside the church again doesn't mean that inside a building. We need to be a member of the church, and we also saw which church it has to be. Because some people say that, okay, still I am a church, I am a member of the church, but what is the name of the church? Bible says that it has to be Church of Christ. But many people claim that it can be anything. The name doesn't matter for them. But Bible strictly speaks that the name of the church has to be the Church of Christ, because it is the Church of Christ. So we can compare the church as Noah's Ark. So people who want to be saved, who should not be left alone in the disaster, has to believe, trust and obey the gospel, so that God will add that person to the church, so he can be saved. So what is the destination of this church? Where does it go? Where does it take us to? Every first day of the week we come to church, and then we leave to our own places, and then we continue our daily routine in the week. But what is the significance of coming to church, and what actually we are trying to portray to others? So we see that the church has to take us to the heavenly Jerusalem. Because here we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 22 and 23, we read that the heavenly kingdom is compared to the heavenly Israel, Jerusalem. And we also see that that place is a joyful assembly where thousands and thousands of angels get together. So this is being actually compared to church. And church also leads us to the place where Jesus Christ is living now. We read in the same chapter, verse 2, we see that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the throne of God. So, to conclude, we can see that if I want to go to heaven, or if I want to go to the place where Jesus Christ is right now, so I have to be a part of the member of the church, and which is the body of Christ, and it has to be Church of Christ. So here we saw about the glorious beginning of the church. We discussed about the glorious, what is the speciality of the head of the church. We also saw the glorious names as the Church of Christ and the disciples being named as Christians. We also saw what a church has to be done. So we saw the intention of God to explain His wisdom, but He can do only through the church. And we also see the destination of the church. In Revelation 21 verse 3, we see that the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. So right now we still believe that God and Jesus Christ are amidst of us, listening and seeing what we are actually doing, because we believe that He is among us. So we see church containing all these different possibilities and the different glorious specialities of the church. Now we'll further move on to see what is the purpose of the church, or what is the motto or the mission of the church. There are a lot of verses which explains that we have to glorify and praise our God in all our activities and in all our actions and even in our thoughts. So likewise, here we see the church has to glorify our God every now and then in all things, whatever it has to do. And in Romans, the first chapter, verse 16, the purpose of the church, it explains that it has to provide a way for salvation by preaching the gospel. Because we see, gospel is the power of God for the salvation. In that particular word, we read that Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. He is always ready to preach the gospel to anyone. So likewise, we as a church should not be ashamed of the gospel, and we should be ready at any point of time to speak the word of the Lord to anyone. Because that is one of the mission that the church has to do. And furthermore, we see in Matthew's chapter 28 verses 18 until 20, God, Jesus Christ, gives the commandment to His apostles, to His disciples, that preach the gospel to every creature on this earth. So we, the disciples, the members of the church, we should also take this responsibility to preach the gospel to as many number of people as we can, to our friends, to our families, because we see that the purpose or the mission of the church has to do this. As a church, we have to preach the gospel to as many number of people as possible. And we also further see that it's not only with preaching the gospel, but baptizing them who obey to the gospel in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It should also teach them to obey in everything of what God has commanded to us. So we see a different purpose and mission, and we will see in the next slide what actually today a lot of churches are doing. What do they think that their own mission and their own purpose is? The purpose and mission of the church, not of the church, is some people consider church as a missionary, as a kind of institution that they can run, like it's a kind of a business that they do. But Bible doesn't talk about anything like this. And there are some churches which has a kind of a politics inside, like someone, they call it as a president, they have elections and they have this voting system, everything that they do. But church has its own nature and it does not have anything to do with this. And even some people consider church as a kind of a encouragement factor, entertainment factor, where because they have all these kind of rock stars, bands, musics and having in the church, like every week they come to church only for this. This is not the actual reason what Bible explains us. But still people consider this as an entertainment factor. They feel happy when they come to church because they have a lot of entertainment things going on. And in India, if I can give some examples what happens in India, most of the people who go to church, not especially to the Church of Christ, to the other denominational churches, most of them are very poor. So the people in the church, the pastors or whatever they call the reverends, they take advantage of it, and what they do, usually they provide food, because the Sunday service will happen from morning until night. So this is what they call a service, and so they have to provide food for them all 3 times a day, and you cannot blame the poor people, so they just come for food. This also happens in India. So the purpose of coming to church is actually lost when they do that. They come to church only for food, and even they get some transport expenses as well. So that one particular Sunday they can spend on their own, and they finally think that, okay, today I was at church and God will be happy. But if you see the actual intention, they just come for food and just for the transport expenses that they can do. So these are some of the things which are not a part of the purpose of the church. And even sometimes people think of church as a kind of a business, because as I said, I can only give examples what is happening in India. There people conduct a lot of services. It's not only a service on Sunday, they have service on Monday, they can have it on Wednesday, Thursday, on any day they want. And they can collect money from the people at any point of time they want. But they do not actually preach what the Bible says. On every first day of the week or on the Sundays, they especially collect the offering, but they never distribute the Lord's Supper. Even this also happens in some churches, because they say it takes a lot of time to distribute the Lord's Supper to this entire crowd. But still they manage to collect the offering from that entire crowd. So it's a kind of a conflicting thing. So people consider this as a business and they earn a lot of money. This happens in India. So we were discussing about the purpose of church and what is not the purpose or the mission of the church. Furthermore, we see a lot of blessings which we can receive as a church, because we see all the blessings is inside Christ. So what if you are along with Christ, if you are inside a church, you will receive all the spiritual blessings what God has given us. So this is a very great blessing for us. And in verse 2 and 16 we see that we have been reconciled into one body unto God through His cross. So through Jesus Christ we have the great blessing, because we have been reconciled into one body, where you have the Jews as well as the Gentiles, because everyone now are called as one body, which is called as church. Now there is no differentiation between the Gentiles, the Jews and the Greek people. There is no differentiation. Now everyone are called as one body through God, through His cross. And in first chapter verses 6 and 7 we see that through Jesus Christ God has shown His grace and His love to everyone. And we see that we the sinners have received the redemption through His blood. So we have been saved through His blood. We have received the forgiveness of sins. And finally, God's richest grace has been lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. So here we see the spiritual blessing, not the earthly blessing, the spiritual blessing, what we can get as a part of church. So we can receive all these things through Christ. So without Christ, we can never get all these. We can never be here. So because of Jesus Christ, because He was crucified on the Mount of Calvary, we as a part of church, we can receive all these spiritual blessings. And another point that we see very much contradicting with today's practical life, we see there are a lot of churches. Bible does not talk about churches, but it talks about church. So we see it is always one church and many congregations, people actually change this logic. They say as many churches and many congregations. It is not so. Bible doesn't talk about churches, it always talks about one church. So in this Ephesians chapter 4 and 4, it talks about there is always only one body and one spirit. We already saw body is the church, so it has to be only one church, which has been mentioned in the Bible. And we also saw this verse, Matthew chapter 16 and 18. Jesus said to Peter that I will build my church. Again, we see this is a singular one and not a plural one. It doesn't talk about churches. It is one church. I will build my church. So, how can be there only one church in one world? Because we live in different places and different countries. So, practically speaking, there can be this possibility. We can have one church and we can have many congregations based on locations mostly. Because here we have it in Belgium and there are some in India. Both are of the same church, but they are considered as different congregations. So, when you talk about church, it is always only one church that has been mentioned in the Bible. And there are many congregations of that one church. And we already saw about this slide in the relationship between Christ and the church. So Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. And then we saw certain example of husband and wife. And we also saw what is the comparison between the Christ and his bride, also along with the husband and wife. So husband has to love his wife and wife has to love as well as respect his husband, whatever he says. And we also see the same comparison between Jesus Christ and the church. Like Jesus Christ loves his church so much. He loves each and everyone in the church because it is his own body. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 4 and 5, we see that we people are the members of the body. If we compare the church with a human body, we see the hands, the legs, the eyes, the ears. These are the parts of the body. Similarly, we people as a church, we are the members of the body and we have only one body and one head, which is the Jesus Christ. We will see about the characteristics of a strong church, because there are some weaker churches as well, because they can fall from their faith at any point of time. But when we talk about a strong church, what are the characteristics that a church should have to be considered as strong? In 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 and 2, we see that a taught membership, the people inside the church has to be very much aware of the doctrine. They should be taught about the lessons, what this Bible speaks. So here we see that we need to get rid of yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander of every kind. So these are the bad things that we need to get rid of. And we also see that like a newborn baby, we should crave for pure milk by which we can grow up in our faith and in salvation. So every day, like this has to be, this is as a part of a church, this has to be taught to the members. Like we should crave for the pure milk, which is the word of the Lord, and this can grow up our salvation as well as our faith in our day-to-day lives. In Romans 1:8, we see that we should have a strong and growing faith. What is a strong and growing faith? There we see an example of the church in Rome. Paul writes to the Romans. He writes that the faith of the people in that congregation was reported to all over the world because they had that much of a strong faith that they were set as an example for others to see. See the Church of Rome, how good they are doing in their faith. So the Church of Rome was set as an example for everyone in the world. So likewise, if a church has to be considered as a strong church, the people in the church should have a faith that can be shown as an example to the others in the world. And when it comes to worship, it has to be a pure and fervent worship. What does the Bible talk about a worship? True worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. So, a service or a worship has to happen in truth and in spirit, because we see God is spirit and He wants His worshippers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The next thing that we will be looking is to defend and contend for faith. Yeah, we are so good in faith. We have a very strong belief. These things are in normal situations. Let us imagine what we read today in the scripture reading. Let us imagine our faith when we are in the situation of Abraham. God expects Abraham or commands Abraham to give his son as a burnt offering. And we also know what is the history of Isaac. After 100 years, Abraham had his son. So that was his only son. And maybe Abraham would have not known whether he might have another son or not. But God gave him a son. And then he asked for that son to be given as a sacrifice. What will be our faith at that point of time? What will we think? We will just think God as a very bad person because He gave a son and now He wants the son back. But here we see, as a church, we should have a strong faith. We should defend our faith. At any point of time, we should not lose our faith. Here we see that Paul is being cited as an example. Paul being in the prison, in the chains, but still he defends for the faith and he has to accomplish the mission that he has started for which he was called for. So here we see the faith of Paul. And similarly, we as a church, to be a strong church, we should have a faith like this. We should always fight for this faith and we should not leave this faith at any point of time. So likewise, like Paul, we should also be defending for the faith. And we also know that we have been assigned a task for each and every one of us to preach the gospel and to spread the word. So likewise, like Paul, we should also be defending the faith. And as a church, we should be united, loving, and sharing between the members of the church. So we have an example in Acts chapter 2 verses 41 and 46. We see the ancient Christians or the people of the church, they had this kind of a maturity, like they were united together, they were loving each other, and they shared across everything whatever they had. The disciples, they shared everything that they had. And in verse chapter 4 and verses 32, we see that believers were one in heart and mind. This is a very important thing that we should learn. We as a church, to be considered as a very strong and good church, the believers, we each and every one of us, has to be one in heart and mind. Our thinkings, whatever we share, it has to be one. That's how the ancient people were. At that point of time, there was no needy person among them because they helped each other. There were some times when each other needed some help and the people in the church helped each other. So these are some important things that we can learn. As a church, we should be one in heart and in mind. And not only this, we should be diligently working for the Master, because we know we have been assigned a task for each and every one of us. So So when we talk about the word, when we read this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So, whatever things that we do as a church, we should stand firm in the faith what we have, and it should grow daily, and we should not let anything move you away from your faith. And if that happens, if you move away from your faith, that is not a strong faith. And you should give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because whatever we will be getting back will be more and more from the Lord. The blessing from the Lord will be more, and your labor will not be in vain for sure. So, next we see an example set for us as a church. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 10, we see some verses written about the people called Bereans. How do you call that? Yeah. So this people, the people in that city of Bereans, what they did, they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if Paul said was true. Like in India, in my congregation, whenever the sermon is going on, like I can see a lot of members taking down some notes, because they used to follow what scriptures have been mentioned in the message. They will be just noting down, and they have a separate book or a kind of a diary which they will note it. But later on, they do not have much time to see what was that, but they note it every week. But here we see these people, they were actually examining with much eagerness to see whether it was true or not, because they were listening to the preaching of Paul. They just wanted to know whether it was true or not. They received the message and they were examining the scriptures every day. So what was the term was given to the Bereans? We see that they were called as the noble character than the Thessalonians. There was a kind of a comparison between the Thessalonians and the Bereans. And we see that Bereans were called as the noble characters because they were examining the scriptures every day. They were reading the scriptures every day. So, here we people at the Church of South Allen, if we want to be considered as a noble character like Bereans, we have to read the scriptures every day, which will lead us to God and will also help us in the judgment day. So this is what I add today in the sermon. Okay.